Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to get started here this morning, and we're going to take a look at scriptures back to back and just kind of see, I think, an idea, a theme that'll come as we look at them. And this Ephesians 2:10 to me is really one of the just amazing hallmark scriptures in the New Testament. The scripture says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The New Living says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." So, in other words, we understand, this is Ephesians 2:10. Of course, when you think of Ephesians 2:8 and 9, you think we are saved by grace through faith. Not of works. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So our salvation is not works-based. It's the grace of God from beginning to end. However, as his workmanship, even though we're not saved by good works, we were created for good works. And so we're a child of God. We're brand new. He loves us, and he created us, had us born again with a plan for our lives that he prepared long ago. That's really a profound thought. So we weren't just born again to join a religion. We were born again into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, for a plan and a purpose that he called us to walk out. And that is where our lives are absolutely unique in God, unique in him. You know, people want to know, why am I here? Man, as a believer, we get to find out why we're here as a child of God. So we've got that promise. We've got the promise that on the inside of us, there are good things that he's prepared for us to do, prepared for us to walk in. But we also find out something else as it relates to walking out this plan. This is 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7. It says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." The New Living says, "For we live by believing and not seeing." The Message says, "It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going." Well put. In other words, he does work in us to will and to do. He works in us to give us a desire to want to do those good works he's ordained us to walk in. It's not something we can see with our eyes. It's an inward intuition. It's an inward knowing. It's a strength that comes and a direction that comes from our heart. But he says we're always confident, knowing that while we're home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. See, because when we are present with the Lord, then we're not walking by faith anymore. We're in his presence. We're absolutely, seeing our eternal salvation, face-to-face Jesus. But right now, while we're home in the body, we're walking by faith. Because there's things that God wants us to do, but we can't see it with our eyes. We're going to get it from the inside. So, as we look at this, and as we look at this amazing truth, that we have this call, each one of us has this call on the inside of us, what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to look at a young couple who also had this call on the inside of them. And yet, they had to walk by faith and not by sight. All right? And so this morning, I'm simply calling this message Christmas Faith. We're going to look at the story, really, of Mary and Joseph at Christmas time and the Christmas story that we think about, that we celebrate each year. But we're going to look at how they had this amazing call in their lives on the inside of them. Things that God clearly called them to do, but they had to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we're all doing this together. And when we're doing this sometimes, we're thinking, man, you know, it doesn't always look clean, like clean, straight lines. God said this, I did this. God said this, I did this. A lot of times there is a kind of a feeling out process as you're walking by faith and not by sight to do the amazing good things that God called you to do and ordained you to walk in. Think about that. God ordained Mary and Joseph to raise the Son of God. You think that would be really simple and clear, right? But let's take a look at the story. Let's take a look at the story, and hopefully we can all find some comfort as we look at the great things God's ordained us to walk in and realize that what does walking by faith look like? We're going to see what walking by Christmas faith looks like as we look at Mary and Joseph. First of all, there's just a simple obedience that comes to play, just doing what God has called you to do. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the Lord by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right, so this is the Christmas story. This is the story we think of and recite every year and think about, reflect on. But as we look at and reflect on it a little bit closer, and we think about what Mary and Joseph did in terms of walking out the good works that God had planned for them long, long ago, the path that he prepared for them ahead of time, we see, first of all, just in this first verse, how it says, you know, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, of course. But think about this. This is, you know, Mary and Joseph did not get engaged to be married, to be the parents of Jesus. That was not on their radar. Now, we don't have, you know, the Hallmark backstory of how they fell in love or if it was an arranged marriage. We don't know what it was back in the day. We don't have that little detail. All we know is before Jesus was ever in their hearts and minds, they wanted to be together for the rest of their lives. There was something there. And in the middle of that engagement, Mary gets the word. Mary is conceived, found with child of the Holy Spirit, and then Joseph finds out. Now, you got to remember, this is God. This is God instigating this. Nobody did anything wrong here. They're just doing what they would normally do, and you've got an engaged couple who now the woman is with child. And so then Joseph, he says, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, we find out that Joseph didn't know. And we also find out in the situation, now when you got a, back in the day, when a woman in an engaged situation became pregnant, that was a stoning offense under that law. So Joseph had certain options here. But the scripture says, her husband being a just man, not wanting to make a public example. We see that Joseph chose. Now, obviously, he just knew what he didn't know what he didn't know. And so in his own heart and mind, he just wanted to do something merciful and gracious and not exploiting. That was his heart. You can see that when God chose this couple, there was some character about Joseph and Mary. There was something already that we see early on. But the thing that we see here too is that Joseph didn't know. The scripture does not exclude this. And he did, you know, what would have been a natural course of action in that day. And he says, while he thought on these things, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty amazing. So Joseph doesn't know. He gets the direction. He hears from God, and he knows it's God. But think about how disruptive this would be. Think of the trauma, the emotional trauma of sensing an unfaithfulness of somebody you have just entrusted your heart to go through that, to experience that. And we're just going down the plan. Again, nobody's done anything wrong here. This is God fulfilling his purpose that he ordained through Mary and Joseph. But think of Mary and Joseph. Think of their obedience, Mary's obedience, just to be true, you know, to not receive the accusation, but to keep her heart true toward God, her conscience clear before God, and Joseph doing what he did. Praise God. It's an amazing thing that we see that. Sometimes when you hear a story or a testimony of something that God did in somebody's life, you can sometimes get the abridged version that leaves out all the messy details of the hardship and the trust issues and the having to believe God in the face of these emotional things. The scripture doesn't leave that out. In this Christmas faith, they walked this out. They obeyed God. So Joseph did what the Lord told him to do. He was obedient that she would bring forth, he said she would bring forth a son, that you will call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. And if we see that, that's exactly what happened. And so there is a certain element of what we're just simply calling obedience. God has ordained you to walk in those good works. And again, you would think if anybody would be getting a pass as far as the dinginess of life and the inconveniences and all that stuff, it would be Mary and Joseph. They didn't. They were going through some stuff. And sometimes, you know, Christmas faith, I know Christmas time is a pretty time of year, and it's wonderful to celebrate that, but sometimes Christmas faith can be very ugly. It can be very ugly, and it can be the perfect will of God. When you look at this, this is not something that you would emotionally want to embrace or have to go through, and yet they did it. They were obedient, and they didn't get off. They didn't get off track. They knew that this was God. God was calling them to do this, and so they did it. They were faithful to the call of God. Joseph was obedient. He took Mary as his wife. He did what the Lord told him to do. And so then, as you're going from that step of obedience, then there's another step of provision, too, that you will experience along the way. It's the provision of God. And this is where we see it came to pass in those days. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. One of the things that we see too, just as far as this, okay, so Joseph's obedient. This is, you know, obviously this is new territory. The situation with his bride is nothing that's ever happened in human history and would never happen again. And yet he gets that word from the Lord in a dream, and he knows that's the Lord. He knows it's God, so he's obedient to do it. And so he does. He takes Mary as his wife. But then we also see that there is another aspect to this too, that they were going to have to go to Bethlehem. But the thing that I love about this, where we see it came to pass as far as the decree, that Joseph, before this decree went out, he was not in Bethlehem. He was still hanging out in Nazareth. Now, this is really amazing, because when you think about, you got this word from God that this is Jesus. He's going to save, be the Savior of the world, you know, from their sins. He knows who this is. He understands who this is. This is the Messiah. This is the King. And you can think in the back of his mind, he's probably thinking, you know, the King, he's going to be, he's from Bethlehem. I'm wondering in my mind, how are we going to get to Bethlehem here? But he's not going to Bethlehem. In other words, he's not trying to perform what God had promised. He's just doing what the Lord told him to do. He knew the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, take Mary as your wife. He didn't say, go to Bethlehem. He just said, take Mary as your wife. That's all he said. And so he's just staying put. He's staying put in Nazareth until the Lord, you know, through Quirinius, ultimately gets him to Bethlehem. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to Christmas faith and being faithful and just doing what God has called you to do, this is such a powerful, powerful truth. Because you could see out good works he's ordained you to walk in, but what you're seeing, it could be next week, it could be next year, it could be 20 years from now, what you're seeing. You're seeing something, but you don't know exactly where in time that is. You're seeing something that God is showing you to help prepare you for what you're going to do. You think of the Apostle Paul. He had a great calling on his life. But what did the Lord say? He said, the Lord counted me faithful. And then he enabled me, putting me into the ministry. Sometimes you're seeing things, but right now, he's just calling you to be faithful, to be true where you are, to prepare you. Remember, somebody who got this wrong back in the Old Testament was Moses. He saw out ahead deliverance, deliverer. He saw the injustice of what his brethren were going through, you know, with the Egyptians. And he was ready, and he, you know, killed an Egyptian to deliver his fellow brother. You know, and then the next day, he sees some brothers fighting. He says, come on, you guys, you're brothers. You shouldn't be fighting. They said, who made you prince and ruler over us? You're going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian the other day? Moses saw something, but he was doing it from his own strength. He was trying to perform something in his own strength, in his own ability, and it was really coming from a place of selfish ambition that his own brothers could detect. He was the deliverer. There was something of him about this. Of course, after that, he had to go to the backside of the desert for 40 years and learn some faithfulness and some trust and some loyalty, and then, of course, he turned aside, he saw the burning bush, and then he goes back to Egypt. But he goes back enabled. He goes back strong in the Lord. He goes back with the strength, and it's nothing about him. There is a work of the Lord that comes through faithfulness. Do you know, staying put sometimes isn't something very glorious to look at, because there's not a lot to see about it. But for you to stay put means that you are going to stay faithful and true to whatever it is that God called you to do at that place for that season. That's a big deal. Because if you're going to stay put, that means there's some things you're going to work through. There's going to be some things you're going to overcome. There's going to be some stuff that God does in you while you're staying put. And when you get ready to move on, you're not just moving on the same old way. Something on the inside is different. There was something different inside Moses when he came back the second time to Egypt as deliverer. And so we see Joseph. He gets it. He understands. Big call in front of him. And yet he's just doing what the Lord showed him to do. He's not getting out in front. He's just being faithful. And when he gets something, then he's going to act on it. And then, of course, we think of this, you know, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And this is one that we, a lot of every Christmas, we kind of go back to this and go, wow, really, that's an amazing thing. The Son of God. You know, if there would be anyone that should have the royal treatment, roll out the red carpet and all that, it would be Jesus. But nope, there was nothing. There was no room for them in the end. We kind of think, oh, wow. But he was so humble, and that's really cool. And we can enjoy the story from the perspective of humility. But what if you're Mary and Joseph? What if you're them? You know? That'd be a little rough. You're going, there is no room in the inn. And you're thinking, man, Lord, we're doing everything you've told us to do. And there is no, we do not have in favor. We are doing John 3:16 stuff here, Lord. We are, you know, part of, you know, your son going into, you know, to save us from our sins, and we don't have favor to get a room at the inn. I'm just saying, be thinking about your own life sometimes and the great things God has called you to do as it relates to Mary and Joseph and the great things God called them to do. Sometimes it feels like you're taking the long way around. And God knows it, and God sees it, and yet it's God, and it's the will of God, and it's his plan. And so here we see, again, Mary and Joseph, they're thinking, man, it would just be great. You know, I don't need a big, you know, dramatic provision testimony here. I just want a room, you know. I just want someplace to go. And yet they're faithful. They're doing what they obviously tried the inn. There was nothing there. But then the Lord provided for them, provided a place that would meet their needs. But the thing about them is they just kept going. They didn't give up, in other words. You could say there's no room at the inn and say, that's it, I tried. See, this is what you get for following after God. They didn't. They kept an open heart. They just kept going and going. There was faith. God has called me to do this thing. And according to my calculations, I thought it was going to work out at the inn. But it's not the inn. If you've ever thought you've heard from God and were wrong, join the rest of us. Join the Apostle Paul. He thought it was, when he was on his second missionary journey, he thought for sure he was going to go to Berea. No, it's Asia Minor. Well, it turned out to be Macedonia. His heart was in the right place, but you're walking by faith and not by sight. And so it keeps us continually dependent on him. So he couldn't get in the inn. They didn't have that inn, you could say, in favor because God had another plan for him. But they stuck with it. They stuck with it. They kept going. There's a chorus from an old 80s or 90s song that it's always stuck out with me. When I'm in these inflection points, it's like, oh. It just goes, where there is faith, there is a voice calling. Keep walking. You're not alone in this world. Where there is faith, there's a peace like a child sleeping. Hope everlasting in he who is able to bear every burden, to heal every hurt in my heart. It's a wonderful, powerful place where there is faith. You find your refuge, not in what you know, but in him. There's a growing that takes place at those inflection points where, okay, it's not the end, now what? And to not give up and say, okay, Lord, whatever that is, I'm staying tuned in. I'm keeping my heart checked into you. I want whatever it is that you have for me next. And sometimes when you're in these places, you do, you know. There can be a frustration sometimes of not always knowing exactly what to do next, but sometimes you can have the frustration of a prompting of you know what to do next and you don't want to do what to do next. Or you're hoping that prompting's not God. Because sometimes what to do next involves something new of faith and trust that you haven't been before. But the provision is there. But the next thing is there. And so we can kind of push that down and push that down. I humorously relate, but it's true. Just the story of when Julie and I went, you know, to Bible school at Rhema, and we were getting ready for registration. And we just had a bunch of menial little jobs. But I actually was able to land a really good IT job just like a week or two before registration. So it came to registration, didn't have the tuition money, and I just had in my heart, the Lord was telling me like, several weeks, 2 or 3, 4 weeks before, he was saying, Ed, call my previous employer, call Jerry. Just ask him, to send you a few $100 and that you, to take care of the registration. And I had that so clear in my heart. But in my mind, I said, no way, I'm not doing that. And that's not my faith test. That's not going to be my faith story. When I tell my story, it's not going to be that I called somebody. No. I believe God. You can get a romantic ideas of faith sometimes, of the way he's going to do it. The most, faith is not a beauty contest, okay? Faith is simply doing whatever he shows you to do next. That's where the anointing, I don't care what it makes you look like. Sometimes some of the most humbling thing you can do is ask for help. And it's God. And something's bigger that's going to come to you more than just the help. There's something in your heart, a humility, that will cause his grace to also come on top of whatever help. And so I know, I appreciate, I get it when people reach out, ask for help. I've been there. And it's like, and I just like, no, I'm going to faith school. Faith, you prepare. And I got it. This can't be my testimony. And I just remember it was just like, it just kept coming up. And it was Tuesday. And we didn't have it, and I thought, oh, and I just knew I got to call. I knew what to do. I've been knowing what to do for a few weeks, but finally I did it. I said, okay, Lord, and I called Jerry, and he said, oh, and he was so glad to hear from me. Oh, man, so good to hear from you. I just said, hey, I've got the situation, just kind of a cash flow deal. I could get you back next month. No problem at all, just whatever. It's just like so nothing. It was so, the grace was there, but you got to humble yourself. And so he sent it, but, the fastest he could send it was 2 days, and the deadline for tuition was Thursday. This was Tuesday. And so I remember the check, would get here by Thursday. Thursday at 2 o'clock was the deadline. So I thought, it's all right. We get the mail that comes by noon-ish, and so we'll be fine. I'll get the check. We'll get it taken care of. It'll be close, but that's okay. And so that Thursday morning, Julie and I were in it was like a student housing meeting where they were going through all the rules that morning for student housing. And I was like, my mind was just on getting home and, getting back to the apartment to get the check, to get this thing taken care of. And finally it was over, I rushed back and see a little yellow sticky in the mailbox says, sorry, we missed you. We will try again tomorrow. No, can't, tomorrow is not going to work. And so, we didn't have cell phones back in the day in 1989. And so I just had to go to the phone book and find the post office and say, hey, you had a guy here and I need that today. I can't wait till tomorrow. So he told me kind of geographically where his route was and about where he would be. And so I had to get in my car and drive to that area. And I didn't even know Broken Arrow or, it's just not like stomping grounds for me. So this is all new. And I'm just praying and driving and driving and praying and looking for a postman, Okay, and then finally I see a guy pulled over, and the truck is pulled over, and the guy is, in the house dealing with the package. So I'm just sitting waiting by the truck, waiting for him to finally come out, and he does. And then I said, would you happen to have a letter for Ed House? And so he's going through all of his stuff, and sure enough, he pulls it out. He's got it. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. And of course, it's a company check, so I've got to go to my bank in Tulsa to be able to cash it. And so my bank that I just opened up, probably a week ago or whatever, and I'm driving into Tulsa, and I get the cash for it, and then I'm driving, and by this time, it's probably about, I remember looking, it was about 1:30 as I'm driving back from Tulsa into Broken Arrow with my cash in my hand. I get to Rhema, I get in that line, and with about 10 minutes to spare. And so that's why I'm here today, preaching about faith to you guys. Yeah. Christmas faith. Christmas time is pretty, but sometimes Christmas faith can be very ugly. And yet it's God, now granted, God was showing me some things beforehand, but I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. That was humiliating. And yet the favor was there. And God keeps bringing it up over and over. It's like, all right. You learn some things as you go. And so I'm grateful, but the provision was there. That's where my provision was. And so provision isn't about the glory and the beauty of my faith. The glory is about hearing what the Lord chose you to do next. Whether it's go fishing, Peter, to get the first fish that comes up and take the coin and pay the taxes. Who would think that? Who would make that up? That's where the provision was. You're just learning, okay, provision is, Lord, whatever you show me to do next. It might not be pretty, it might be ugly, that's okay. I just want whatever you want me to do here. And so there's that element of provision. And then finally, there's an element of direction where we're getting that, you know, Lord, show me where to go. Make it clear to me. Here's, as the Christmas story picks up, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east, the wise men, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Then they saw the star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So we see that the wise men are given that direction in a dream. And also, now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." And he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Now you talk about amazing faith that they had. This Christmas faith, where, you know, they had just experienced, you know, the wise men and gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and worshiping and recognizing who Jesus is, and just affirming everything that they have been by faith, you know, experiencing into this point. They've get the witness of the wise men. It's a powerful context. And in that witness, God tells Joseph in a dream to go. And it's not that they're just going, you know, from Bethlehem to Galilee. They're going from Bethlehem to Egypt. They're going into a place that is very different. Culturally, you know, Egypt would be kind of more of a type of the world, probably. I mean, just think of the change. And to go at nighttime and to go right now. And again, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Now, I'm just saying this for me and you. As we're walking out the great things that God's ordained us to do, and sometimes we can be frustrated about having to take the long way around. Think about this. Wouldn't there be at least a tendency to want to say, "Father, this is your son. Couldn't we just, you know?" I mean, you think of just, even from a, I would imagine Mary and just your nesting instincts and just wanting to plant a home and get going, to have to uproot and go to a whole other country. I mean, couldn't we just, you know, stay here and, you know, you supernaturally protect him here? To which God would say, "I am supernaturally protecting him. Pack the mules. Time to go." That's just the supernatural. God gave them the guidance that protected and delivered Jesus. Think about that, though. You're going to have to go to a place because some guy is so bad, and you got to wait for him to die before you can go back, to where you can go back home, to where you can go back to the land of Israel. You're literally staying there at a place that you're feeling like an outsider until somebody dies. And that's God's perfect plan on the death of somebody. What? I should be in control here, right? No. Your control is following what God shows you to do next. That's the Christmas faith. Again, this is not a beauty pageant for your faith at all. You're just doing it, and God's doing stuff on the inside of you as far as your faith, and he's working stuff on the inside of you that is amazing, that is powerful. You know, the Apostle Paul said, he was writing to the Thessalonians, he said, man, time and again, we wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us. Well, come on, Paul, you're a man of God. You have authority over Satan. Don't you realize where you are positionally? There should never be a hindrance from Satan. No, Satan can hinder you. Sometimes through other people, sometimes through circumstances and situations. God, you know, Satan can get into, you know, Paul would be trying to do things and Satan would stir people up and just cause division and strife. And it's nothing that Satan can get in. Sometimes it just can hinder a work. Not that it was wrong for Paul to be hindered. He wanted to come. There's things you want to do, but sometimes you're going to stay put. Even if it's Satan hindering something, or you're waiting for somebody to die, you know, it's you know, in that case, they knew that. But I'm just saying, there is times where it's going to seem like this is the long way. No, God's preparing stuff in you. It's not just by circumstance or happenstance. There is stuff going on in the inside of Mary and Joseph. There's things that go on the inside of you when it seems like you're staying in a place and whatever. It sometimes, that's just the act of staying again causes you to have to confront stuff on the inside to be able to stay. Because if we want to run, we can't run because God hasn't given me a word next. He's saying, stay put, stay put. This is the direction for now. I love that. Because I'll tell you, then when God does call you to do something, God does call Moses to go back to confront Pharaoh. He's not going back with some swag or some. He's going back in the power of the Lord. You're going back because on the inside you've experienced a humility and a trust. We sing that song this morning. I think it was Ever Be? He says, where your strength becomes my own. That's what you experience when you stay put for a while. You experience his strength becoming your own. I'm not running from this place anymore. I'm here. I'm here in the name of the Lord. I'm here in the power of the Lord. I'm not being pushed around by little things. I'm seeing through them. I'm taking authority over stuff. I'm a different person. I don't have a romantic faith thing. I love God. I'm learning to walk with him. Mary and Joseph in this Christmas story were called on to do some things that in the natural were not pretty. They're not convenient in the natural, but yet the constant is God is there. He is there. He is faithful. He loves you. He's for you. None of that ever changes. So just talking Christmas faith this morning, there's going to be an element of obedience that, you know, what? Marry somebody who is pregnant because of the Holy Spirit? Well, God's going to give you some dreams. That might seem crazy, but they're conceived of the Holy Spirit. You go, really? Okay. Man, there's a desire, and all right, here we go. You know, but you could try to, in the natural, talk yourself out of it. But no, that's conceived of the Holy Spirit, and I know it. And so now all that's left is obedience. Am I going to begin to go in a direction that I know is conceived? I know it's part of those good works that God has ordained me to walk in. Provision. Again, provision. Don't get caught up in how your testimony looks, how it sounds. That provision is going to be something that God brings about in his way, in his time. It's doing what God shows you to do next. And direction, too. That's going to be something that is going to be something that God brings clear, you know, just kind of a final rhema story tell off on myself. But one of the things that I'd always had problems with at this point in my life was my car. In my mind, it was like, Ed, the bad luck car guy. I just felt that way, and I've got stories I could tell about that. But I got this car, and it was actually a better car than what I had had, but it had a leaky oil pan, and I brought it to a few different broken aero places, and they were saying, yeah, $500 to $700, kind of this unique screw or whatever, have to replace the oil pan and labor, and we just didn't have any money for anything like that. And I just remember coming out of church one day, and I looked at the oil pan and all that stuff, and was just walking out of church, and just had a message on just a new creation in Christ Jesus. Don't see yourself according to that old man. And the Holy Spirit on me, you know, the second sermon in me, when Pastor Hagin was preaching that, I said, yeah, Ed, the bad luck car guy, that's not who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Don't hold on to that identity. And I just remember in my heart just saying, okay, I'm not Ed, the bad luck car guy. No, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. Lord, you show me what to do next about that. And I remember walking out of the building that day, and just in my mind's eye, I saw the oil pan, I saw that screw, and I saw a bunch of rubber bands around it, stopping the leak, the oil leak. And I know nothing about cars, all right? And so I just thought, man, that would stop the leak. I think if I just put enough rubber bands on there. And it did, it worked. You know, the car would get hot, the rubber bands would pop off eventually, I have to put more rubber bands on there. But that's okay, because I could drive. And that was rubber bands only cost me like a buck and a half, you know, at the get and go across the road. And so it was great. And I was going, you know, for probably just like a day or day and a half, and I ran talking to my guy at work, and he said, oh yeah. He said, oh, you know what, you need to see Dewey. And Dewey was like an old roadie for, you know, Christian groups and things like that. He said, yeah, so he gave me his address, went over there, Dewey went under my car and laughed at those rubber bands. He said, man, you must have, you know, 10 bucks worth of rubber bands on there. He said, no, it's actually about a buck and a half, but I got rubber bands, and he just took it on. He just put a self-threading screw up there, fixed it, no charge. Wow, are you serious? No, I just want to, that's great. And I'm going to bless you. You know, doing the work of the Lord, just going, it's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. You know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to come up with 700 bucks. And all I had was one thing to do next. That direction was rubber bands. Now, was that the long-term answer? No. I couldn't go very long. It wasn't, but it bought me the time to get the word about Dewey to get it fixed. But that's what the Lord was showing me next. That's not pretty. That's ugly, rubber bands, that pile of rubber bands. But I did that because I knew, I just sensed that was it. I could see that. And so sometimes that next step is not always, it can be an interim step. It can be just the next thing that you need to do for something more permanent or whatever it might be. But again, don't be getting out ahead of your testimony. Just take one day at a time. And when you come through that, you do have a testimony, but it's not even just, it's a testimony in your heart of the faithfulness of God, how he takes care of you in these different ways. And so Christmas faith, it's a time like Mary and Joseph where we're walking by faith, not by saying, yeah, there's great things that God ordained them to walk in, and yet they didn't get a pass. They didn't get a free pass on life. They had to go through all the little things that we meander and go through too. So if you feel like, oh, I must be doing something wrong, no, you're not doing anything wrong, all right? You're just learning to walk by faith like we all have to. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you this morning that we have got some good examples this morning in Mary and Joseph and just the Christmas story that you've given us. We're so glad that you give us that full version with the struggles and just all the things that they had to do and go through, Father. I just pray, Lord, that as we just look at what you've called us to do this morning, as we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord, that we would just receive, Father God, that we would just receive the strength and the guidance, that we don't have to be afraid of whatever it is you call us to do next, that even in the waiting, you're doing amazing things on the inside of us, that the things that you've conceived in our hearts, things to do, Father God, that we just obey those conceptions of the Holy Spirit in our heart, those good works you've ordained us to walk in, Father, that we just obey whatever that next step is for provision, Lord. Help us to just not worry about how it looks, but just to do whatever it is you tell us to do, to humble ourselves, Father, and to receive your provision. Father, and finally, just the direction for our lives. We just thank you that we are taking our direction from you, that you are leading us, that you are guiding us. Whether it takes longer than we would like it to take, we know that it's right on time for you. You're working in us, Father. You're working truth. You're working strength. You're working character. You're working faithfulness on the inside of us that you're going to be able to enable later, that you're going to be able to exalt us in due season, Father God, as we're prepared, Father, for what it is that you've called us to walk. And we thank you, Father, for these examples. I just thank you for each one here and for just strengthening us and guiding us, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.